Welcome to Miracle Nutrition Radio, the way, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going to lie to you.
I was thinking about my old stationery store job in the mall the other day.
Yeah, what about it?
That time I fell asleep.
Television in the morning.
He was trapped inside a stationery store and he was high. So he wandered round the aisles and was looking blue-eyed. And he saw some envelopes inside a box of different shapes. So he crawled inside of one and then everything began to change. He was falling into a world where things were very strange. And everybody was a different type of envelope. Envelope land. Falling, he was going to envelope land. Falling. Everyone's a different type of envelope. Everyone here's a type of envelope. Everyone's a different type of envelope. Everyone's a different type of envelope. Different type of envelope. Everyone's a different type of envelope. Everybody's a different type of envelope. Everyone's a different type of envelope. Everybody's in a type of envelope.
Ho ho! I'm made of paper!
To the most silly of creatures, all joy. To the most hungry of creatures, well fed. Long lines of help on the way. Parades of couches with old family and reassurances in them. Giant balloons of love memories. Walk with the whole team with a variety of shirt colors and hats. Go from tired to rested or rest whenever. A child deserves to be taken care of long past the point they feel like a child. Let your anger wash away like disappearing ink or stay fixed like a tattoo if you need it. The circus of forgiveness is in town, always and in all places, with good air circulation. Maximum light to all those that need it. Cool darkness to those that seek it. Wear the coat that came with the house if you forgot your coat. Drink the water that came with the land if you're thirsty. You're thirsty. Everyone is thirsty. Ride imaginary animals or real machines or imaginary machines. Take them to the edges of the field. Can't find them, can you? Orb farm. No fences. Build a wall on a ball? No. Clouds take the shape of clouds to hide from clouds. My face looks like a camel. Or a row of ducks eventually if it's made of water vapor. May your shadow find joy even. Mercy all the time, not like old TV that went to static near dawn. Bam, the end of torment and cruel decisions. Bam, the feast of all day warm or cool sitting and standing. Friends that get to see each other on the sidewalk daily. Help available daily. Place in the world daily. Hands on hands, on hearts, on shoulders of the long gone and yet to get here. Magic pictures take you away. Walk back to the superior hills with me. Each measurement brings us closer to the infinite. Each road ends the minute it's laid. Hoist up the banner that says my spectacular messy birth in the world. Like a confused and panicked star screaming with rage and glee in overcrowded universe of one. Heads out the front door, bottoms out a window, scratching my back with the trees in the lot next door. Fireworks are made of words now. Not words, I mean sounds. Not sounds, I mean change. I am here and now I'm not here. I am gone and now I'm not gone.
So let me get this straight. We are rolling for control of the universe.
Something like that, yes.
Well, how will I know if I win?
Oh, I'll let you know.
Can't you just tell me the rules?
No.
Am I getting close?
No, not even close.
Oh, I don't even really want control of the universe. I just don't want you to have it.
That's fair enough. Go again. Oh, look at that. Nothing.
Well, again, what am I going for? We'll both know it when we see it. All right. I feel like while we're doing this...
While we're doing this, neither one of us has control of the universe.
Well, that seems ideal. Well, let's get as many people involved as possible. Let's get as many people, if we're all rolling dice with no purpose, to no end, and no one really can win. But as long as we're occupied, no one is controlling the universe. Well, that seems good, right? So let's see if we can distract everything. All, not just living things, I was thinking, but everything in the universe, distract it from itself. Is that possible?
Yes, I believe so.
And then
I can't pay attention to you because I'm being distracted by you.
Exactly. If you can't focus on everything,
then everything is out of focus or in focus, or I can't follow you.
Exactly. You can't follow me. I don't want you to follow me. It's like a murmuration.
All right. Keep going.
Exactly. Keep going. As long as our wings are in... I don't know where I'm getting my orders. I'm just passing things on. And, oh, we're turning left. That's the way it feels. Does it feel that way to you?
Yes. Go on.
Oh, my friends, I'm so glad you're here. Listen... I am overjoyed to see you, but also I am the type of friend that even if they know you're coming a month ahead of time, when you get there, they're like, oh, will you drive with me to get an air mattress and groceries? And, oh, and it isn't that they're not glad to see you. It's just that I guess they wanted to feel re-surprised, recapture that moment of when you told them you were coming. Oh, there you are again. It's so much fun. Like, my dogs are like that. So surprised to see me when I come home. I said, you guys thought I'd left forever? Don't think that. That's why you're eating all my food when I leave. We thought you were gone forever. But you come back. It shocks some people. I imagine it always shocked me with having a landlord or something. Say, oh, who's this fella? Oh, I forgot. I thought it was my. I keep thinking it's my place. I give you money. I thought I bought it. No, you have to buy it every month. Oh, my goodness. That's the way with subscriptions. You just have to buy it. You have to buy it continually. Can't I just buy it the once and then you either bring it to me forever? I would just love to have bought just the one apple. I don't really even care for apples. I do and I don't. I wouldn't mind having an apple pie every now and then. And I guess I feel this way also about other people. So, yes, I love them. Like, apple pie is one of my favorite things. Then again, I could probably live without it. Can you live without other people? It depends. How long? And am I locked in a food warehouse? Because that would change my answers. Let's say I'm 68 and I'm locked in a good-sized grocery store warehouse. And you think, well, some of it's going to go bad. I'll just toss that outside. That will stave off the wolves who are outside. And then I'll live off all the dry stuff. And you can do that like an astronaut. Or there have been people on the moon or what have you. There was a movie where a fellow's stranded on Mars, but he had plenty to eat. Well, he had a little miniature farm. I wouldn't even... Have you ever done this? Oh, you can grow herbs in your kitchen or everything you need to survive. I would die. I love to garden and everything, but I can barely do it in its proper environment, much less by the sink or something. Everything there, even though I see it every day, I always think, gosh, that plant's dying. I think as I'm making my coffee, as I'm pouring water in the coffee, what's wrong with that plant? I think. This may translate to my fellow man. As I hope I don't watch someone emotionally dry up and wither while I'm standing there and pouring joy in my cup. I don't know what my cup is in this case. Figurative language is hard. It's like painting.
It's representational things, just literal representation. Sometimes it's easier. You can make a really crude drawing of, let's say, like Hitler. And then people go, oh, I know that's Hitler, even though it's a stick figure with a little tiny little mustache. It could be Sparks guy. But generally, everybody would go, oh, it's Hitler. But, you know, some things are, if they're abstract or, you know, more figurative. Or no, figurative is literal. I don't know. Isn't that what, in painting, everything's backwards. I know this from England. If you ever go to England and they say private school, they mean public school, private, I don't know, something's backwards. Private school, they would say public school. So say, oh, you know, if an ink, so if someone from the UK wants to see your privates, what they mean is publics. And I don't know whether this, there's a Florida connection. I have always, since the first time I was ever on the radio, which I think was by accident, because the little light was on and I didn't see it, when I was young, I was touring the station. And yeah, I think I was, it was so funny because I think I was yelling in obscenity. And just then the light came on, said on the air, or we're on the air now, or we're on the air, don't talk, or don't talk, we're on the air, or silence. And I didn't see that sign. And I yelled, oh, in my little kid voice. I yelled some, it was either a string of profanities or a really graphic description of something horrifying. And I went out on the air. And they heard it, the government heard it, and they shut down everything. They shut they locked all the doors. Everybody was locked inside. I was so scared. I was just young. I said, what's happening? And they said, you are what they call FCC'd. Don't pronounce it out loud. I was, oh no, what happened? They said, well, you said something on the radio. And from that moment on, I said, I want to be on radio. I feel like I can be effective. If I can cause all that simply by saying something, or not just speaking my mind. I think I was just repeating something I heard on a show, on All in the Family or something like that. I didn't know it. I was young. I didn't know what I was saying. And but then it turns out, like, oh my goodness, what the media is, it's not, it's the message and everything that sounds like it. It's the MS, Marshall McLuhan said, media is the MSG. It softens everything up. And people think it gives them a headache, but that's just their imagination. I hope I've tenderized your heart. In the Bible, it says, and I forget the concept. I can look it up. Don't make me look it up. Because it's a figure of speech. It said to circumcise your heart. And you can't literally do that. I mean, I guess if you were a surgeon, you could do that. But it really means to take away any, it's a really poor, poor analogy or whatever, but it says that. But it really says to tenderize yourself. So I say, you know what, let's modernize that. Instead say, take your heart and take one of those sharp, those mallets that have little bumpy mallets that people used to hit meat with, and pound, instead of pounding veal, pound away the hardness of your heart. And that you can do that, take your heart, you know what that is, it's not your literal heart, you understand that, it's your feelings or whatever, take that in your mind, you're taking that, I don't know what it looks like. In your head, you can make it anything. I make it look like Sculpey so I won't be repulsed. And then I put it between wax paper. Because sometimes when I'm imagining myself hitting it, because it's clay, it would react differently than a veal cutlet would. And I don't want that to happen. So I put the wax paper. What is wax paper? Wax paper, I'll tell you what wax paper is. It's a way of looking at things that's a self-deception that we use for practical purposes. It is a veneer that we put on things. We know we're fooling ourselves, but we do things. We want to affect change, so we make things poetic. Let me give you an example. Let's say I don't really literally believe in a deity or something like that, or that prayer is magical incantations, but that I want to use my imagination to sort of steer my feelings. And I find that my imagination does this the best when I do it in a sort of clinical way, or when my words are literal or without, you know, visual or sensory connotations or everything. Anyway, I do better with getting excited about, you know, imagine I've got a big magical staff and robes or something, you know, like that. I know it's not true. I know I'm not a wizard. I'm trying to fool myself into having a sort of experience. That's wax paper. So you want to put your heart between a couple layers of that. And you can use your imagination. Some people use, as wax paper, use their own religious traditions. It saves time. You say, can I go then just to my Reform Jewish temple? Yes, why not? Just go there. Put that, and then you can, you know, slam a mallet on yourself as a way of feeling what other people are feeling, tenderizing yourself, opening yourself up to experience. I can go, I'm purely secular person. That's great. That's great, too. A lot of times people do it through bowling team. Anything that y'all, people do this. They will kind of silly, snidely, not snidely, what's the word I want? Call something church. You go, oh, we ride our bikes every Sunday together. We call it church. Or we go to this, we call it church. You go, it is church. It's okay. You know what it is. It's just getting together with others for the singular purpose of sort of uniting your spirits there and letting go of the burden of your individuality and saying, I want to relax in the scrum of penguins, and I want to be around others who recognize the burden of their existence and the blessing of their existence, and they can keep those two opposing thoughts in their head, and they like to, you know, play skeetball, or they like to play scopa or something like that. That can be it too. That's all right. So what about the, will the actual God be mad? Well, I don't know. let me ask them. They're a character on the show. And, that's not blasphemous enough, is it? I don't know. There's so things. Blasphemy has been taken to such a level of people do it now so much better than they did. In so many ways. You say, what do you mean? I go, well, it's so subtle. You know? To me, what it means is othering. Well, that's pretty subtle. Yes, I know. But this came out of a really long discussion about a specific passage in the Bible where someone is accused of blasphemy, about saying the name of God. And we all can agree that might be a mighty silly, arbitrary sin. So you think, well, what must, you know, let's pretend they're reasonable people. What must they be really talking about? You know, what did this character really do? And I found what the character really did was the character othered. The character said, you people, to those who were around them, to their neighbor, to those who were loyal to them, said, you people, separated themselves, said, you know, I'm not you, when you're, here you are sitting right next to the person in their camp. And that's a pretty upending thing to do. Imagine if y'all were camping with friends, and some of them sitting around the campfire, and they went, you know, you people are all fools. You'd go, uh-oh, this doesn't look good. What's wrong with Weird Jimmy? It's not just Weird Jimmy anymore. Now it's, I feel like, Dangerous Jimmy or something. But, oh my gosh. So sometimes I think about that. Think about, oh my goodness, you know, The person in the ten. You're in. I dread this, that I'm in like a funicular car or something. There's like maybe 10 people, and then just one of them just says, you know, I'm not part of the group, or I have different interests than the rest of you. You go, oh no, this is going to be rough, because that's fine, right? But not in the context of this funicular car. Then I feel like it's blasphemous. So if we're all hanging here in the air or something, I think you know, there's just a contract. I believe that. And every time I do. So every time I go to, you don't want to be at like an amusement park the same time as I am. Because we all get in the same car. I'll stand up like a subway panhandler. And I'll say, hey, everybody, glad to be on this roller coaster car cluster. I don't know what it's called. We're all sitting kind of separately, and I never get even beginning on my speech before I'm tossed out. It's good to get tossed out early on a roller coaster before you even get started, because otherwise it can get really, you're up there really high. And I've thought that about the show. It's been, I hope I lose him at the beginning. Well, you know, because you lose somebody maybe at the half hour mark. What have I done? What have I done? Where have they gone? I wouldn't let you fall over, friend. I hope I'm that kind of friend, at least. I remember when I was young, I'd listen to the radio, and it's all kinds of characters. There was one called Cowboy Don. There's another called Pirate Don. And then there was one, they'll come on and say, Animal Don or something. Why were they all called Don? Isn't that funny? I guess it's just where I lived. Other people listen to different radio coming up, and I've noticed that. I've asked them, what was the radio station you listened to? And they go, oh, W something something, K something something, KW, WK something something, like that. Some people, if they're from far, some call letters are really complicated. There are some overseas that are just pictures of things. And I don't know how they say them on the air. They take a long time to say. I think we should get into that, where they're not call letters. It's just a really succinct description, like an artist statement. And it's kind of call letters. And I don't know why we need them. I think a lot of radio now is based on when people are like, this is radio, hello. You know, when it was almost like tin cans and everything. It was more mechanical to them. But now I don't know. Now it's everything is more complicated, I find. And now radio, most of it is, some of it's used for phone calls and garage door openers. But I don't know if it always was. The electromagnetic spectrum, though, is quiet. It's so funny because it feels like land on Earth. So the electromagnetic spectrum, you go, it seems large. You go, yes, it does. But why is it so crowded? Then why is the radio, why is not all that so crowded? You know, why are people fighting over that little segment of it? And it feels that way with landmass. You go, it feels like there's lots of land in this country. Yeah. Why are people all clustered all around the, I don't know. I'm not sure. There's just something about certain frequencies that attract people. I like some of them. Shortwave is good. I'm going out. Am I going out over? Somebody hold their shortwave thing up to this, and then I'll get a shortwave receiver and hope up to that, and we'll see if we can't create a time machine. I don't know exactly how it'll work. But if you record me on your short, if you hold your shortwave microphone up to this broadcast, and then I somehow get in touch with that and record that, broadcast that back, so it's a loop. But it takes days. Would we go back in time or forward? I don't know which direction I'm going right now. I feel like a lot of people say to me, Hardy, sometimes when I listen to your show, I feel like I'm going forward and backward in time in rapid succession, almost like you're rocking me gently through time. Slow vibration or a rock like you would a baby. Babies like, there's all sorts of, you get them the kind of, not a crib, but what do you call it? A bassinet or something? Something that rocks. Cradle, that's what it is. Cradle. Did they... I'm sorry. Why did I shudder just then? I shuddered because I was told a story or shown pictures as a child of a baby in a cradle in a tree, up in a tree. And it was fixing to fall out. And I'm makes me want to be sick. And I think about it every time someone says cradle now. I don't know why they thought, was it part of a children's story or a song or something? And there's an accompanying melody. And that makes me feel like there's a ghost breathing on the back of my neck. So I don't even want to sing it. But I'm haunted by that image and that idea. Oh, I feel like it's ancestors from the Middle Ages going, I'm going to create an earworm about infant mortality. And I'm going to send it out through the ages. I'm going to send it into the future to my shiftless descendants, that they should know the agony of a baby falling out of a tree or something like that in a cradle. I don't know where it came from. And it sounds like it's being sung backwards by a demon, that song to me. So when I see children, I say, what's appropriate? What are like appropriate children's songs? Like really innocuous, gentle children's songs devoid of any kind of complex, you know, ambiguity and everything. And I think, well, Paul McCartney music or something like that, it would be good. Something that's not going to hurt or scar a child for a while. Oh, Lord, I am so glad to be with you. This is a radio. People ask me a lot of times. They'll say, Hardy, sometimes I will hear the microphone, they will say. I know what kind of microphone you're using. And I was saying, I bet you do. You know, because if you had a time machine, what microphone would you be using? And you'd go, I don't know, some sort of old 70s Electro Voice? Yes. Of course you would. Because you don't know when you're going to have to go on the portable, when you're going to have to go outside or anything like that. And then you see all sorts, you go, oh, I see them in every movie. Then you go, oh, look at that Electro Voice in Godfather or the Sun Ra movie. And you think, this is fantastic. And that's all from having a time machine and just wanting to speak on the radio. Speaking is like, is it an art? No. Is it an art? Is using the bathroom an art? Or anything else that you need to be taught to do in a certain area. I mean, children are going to make noises, and then we give them suggestions of what noises to make and then when to make them. And the same could be said with maybe with moving your bowels. I don't know, although you do that instinctively earlier. What's another thing? Walking or punching are like that too, I think. Oh, my goodness. I want you to be free. Oh, don't be a bully. Don't be a bully. Don't bully. Don't bully yourself. Don't bully others. Do not use anger and aggression because that you're frustrated. Just because that is not satisfying. You are not getting what you need. You're not going to feed the craving you have, the hunger you have for power and control in your life. You say, well, another is cowering. Look how I'm affecting change by making someone afraid or anything. I must be powerful. No. Oh, my goodness. No, no, no. You say, oh, I have all this energy from drinking all this cane syrup. Oh, what a terrible thing you've done. You got to do it smart. You must sustain your heart and fill those holes with something that's going to fill you up. Now, maybe it's not what you want to hear. And I notice that with people with food. Even say, I want something that's like a donut, but then it's also like quinoa. And first of all, I'll say my sweet amaranth cakes. But then if you're being serious, though, oh, my gosh, I'm glad to be with you. I was going to have a, there was a fella that says, I'm going to build you a thing for letters, and then you can have letters on the show. I said, I don't know. I said, yeah, that you, what, the problem is you don't have anything to put them on or anything. People don't, that, so you can't read any. And I go, I don't know if I want this. It's a little bit of an investment, and it's a thing. And I don't know. You can also see through them and all, I guess, and if you wanted to trace them. And I said, I don't know if I need all that, Bert. And he said, let me make you one. And I'll tell you, then if you get letters and you read any letters, then you pay me. But I felt bad. I paid him anyway. Now I have this thing, but I don't want any letters. I'm not going to read the letters. I'm not convinced that you would believe me, you know, because so many things are made up on radio, or you might believe me too much. And this is the razor's edge that we ride on radio. Say, so I will hope people believe me, but then not now. Now I do, but now I don't. Oh, please believe me. Now you're being too, now you're doubting too much. Up, pull back a little to the left. I'm not sure which I want. I don't know whether I want you to always doubt me or always believe me. I would like you to not believe me if what I'm saying is potentially harmful. If what I'm saying is innocuous, perhaps the belief is irrelevant. I don't know. When would I want you to absolutely believe me? I have to think about that. I've been watching a little Perry Mason and Matlock, so I can think of some circumstances, but they all seem to be legal. And then I'm like, please believe, you got to believe me, Mr. Mason. Would I do such a thing? I don't know. Matlock would be like, no, you're right, you wouldn't, you know. Are you all right, Matlock? I dropped my big orange drink, he says. And so then belief is important to me. But otherwise, I don't know. I'm just like, I'm waiting for a look in your eye. I get it from the children, too. It's just like, just light up a little bit. I'm not trying to, you don't have to, you know, you can think me a fool. I'm just trying to make you feel a little better. I think the reason you do it for, sometimes it's sad pity with children. You go, oh, if you only knew, you know, please let me see, smile for a bit. So to, you know, ease my heart as I see the great challenge before you of living a life, of being immortal. Of being immortal? No, being immortal. That's so funny. That's just like when Ice-T, it does an ad for supplemental car insurance. And at the end he goes, you know, tell him I sent you, like that. And I go, is he saying I sent you or I sent you? And the same way as that with immortal. Did I say immortal or immortal? It's hard to say. Just imagine that. I'm glad that I'm not in a nap. People make fun of that. I believe it was Jacques Tati in Monsieur Hulot's Holiday. There was a joke about how you can't ever understand a train station announcer. Am I right? It's just like that. And there's a big echo. And so it causes for great confusion. Oh, he pointed that out. But now, since that's, people have pointed it out frequently, and now that it's not funny anymore, we can use it as a sort of spiritual metaphor or something. Now we can dry, now that it's all dried out like an old bean, we can do something with it. We can use it for something else. Isn't that great? And I like that about ideas. Sometimes the old ones are just, they're not rotten. They're desiccated. You wouldn't say, oh, look at that rotten. Well, there's a difference between a rotten grape and a raisin, obviously. Isn't there? There's a difference between a putrefying corpse and a mummy. A nice dry mummy. A nice dry, almost like a beef jerky consistency. That's where you want to go. Like a leather, meat leather is what they call it, I think, anyway. I mean, in the, if you're going to eat it, don't eat mummy. Shh. I'm winking. Because of course you eat mummy. No. And the reason you don't is because it's not smoked. I don't know whether the Egyptians would do that. Say, I have an old... The pharaoh is dead. Do y'all have a lot of hickory or apple wood? No, I don't. So, okay, so I guess we won't be making... We won't be making the jerky then. No, this one we're going to have to put... Besides, I think pharaoh wants to be in a cave of live cats or something like that. My understanding is near the end of the... a few hundred years into this Egyptian culture, I've seen actually how the sarcophagus art got worse. And people were like, I don't know. You could see people's beliefs kind of waning. And I guess they couldn't convince as many people to lock themselves alive in tombs anymore. No, you're on your own, chief, is what's carved in hieroglyphics on many of them in the later period. Because people's zeal, you go, oh, I don't know, man. I guess we're believing the kind of wrong stuff or whatever, what have you. Isn't that a grand thing? It's good to be, gosh, when you all believe the wrong thing together. Is that a good thing? Who knows? Bless your hearts. I'll tell you, the proof of the pudding is in the being buried alive. If it has that in it, it's not good pudding. Cast it aside. If you are asked to bury yourself alive, and I think that includes to throw your life away in subservient agony, perhaps it's the culture. It's the pharaohs that are to blame, maybe, or it's the whoever we're following at the moment. So I don't know about that. I don't think I want to be locked. Whose tomb would I be willing to be locked in? Nobody's. So, oh, I don't know. Maybe Bowie, people say. See, David Bowie didn't want that. He doesn't want you buried alive with him. Somebody who might. I don't know. I think there's some AM radio people say, I could go for like a handful of just, you know, like somebody to, what's the guy, a valet? But I say no, nobody. Everybody comes into this world either alone or as a twin, and they go out mainly alone. Could you imagine? I feel bad for the Dionne quintuplets because I don't think they all died together. Say, so, oh, they're all born on the same day. It's like one of them's got to go first, though. I wonder if they left in. And still, multiple births, people go, oh, there's still a birth order. That comes from the Bible. Like, who cares? So, oh, yeah, they're twins, but which one came out first? Came out first. Doesn't even make sense. So, that's the order they were born in. So, the quintuplets, I don't know if the order they were born in. Who knows? And I don't, did they, and they went on tour. And I don't know. Sometimes I think maybe the Jacksons were quintuplets that were born years and years apart. And that Mrs. Jackson did that on purpose. I don't know whether I'm making that up. That might be from there was some kind of album I had of the Jackson 5s, and I feel like half of the Smothers Brothers was on it. But I don't know which one, which half. Listen. People turn to the radio where they listen to it for different reasons. And I will hear from people all across the world saying, Hardy, I'm listening to the radio while I write a letter. Or I'm listening to the radio while I do air traffic control. Or I listen to the radio to put me to sleep or on my deathbed. Or I listen to the radio as I do my radio show. I hold a microphone up to it. I broadcast it on ham. Listen, that's fantastic. We all got to do this together. There isn't one radio show. Oh, no, no. This whole thing is a dang radio show, isn't it? Every time that we step out into the world and we speak to somebody, they say, is that all for you today? Do you have they don't even ask for your discount card anymore because they know it's end times. I'd ask for your reward card, but I don't think that we're going to live to see the 10th punch. And you say, I know, my friend, I know. But could you do it anyway? Because I believe I must still need several tanks of gas between now and then. You got it, buddy. We call each other buddy like people used to call each other citizen or comrade. And then we go back into our homes. Is this a any world that you envision, you can make into a cartoon with your friends. It won't be a long one necessarily, and it won't be a very detailed world. But I can't see that there's much that isn't possible if you lower your definition of all the everything. And that's a good way to go about stuff. I get, you know, language is yours. Use it. So I want a present. That's easy. Present can be anything. Anything can be anything. It's your language. You can just say, I want, and you can hear people use that as a joke, you know, oh, anything can be a cup or anything can be a friendly lamb or a, I don't know. But, you know, it's true in a way, you know, if you're making up the language, you can use your creates. People use the word create. People view they've ruined the word creativity, like they view ruined the words yuppie and hippie. I don't know whether those were ever good words. Let me think of something else. But you know how words get ruined. And a swastika is no longer a valid good luck symbol. That's a pretty profound one. The answer is you're right. Yes, stuff so things get ruined. Symbols change, words change. Do words have meaning? Mine do. Do you know what they are? Do you know my meaning? Or do I know my meaning? I don't know my meaning always. Sometimes I do. A lot of things that I'm doing are really sophisticated parroting. Parrots just go like, you know, get out of here, Hilda. Like that kind of stuff, what they hear. But like I can do it with the emotion. It's like, get out of here. I parrot the actual anger, fear, frustration. I can do that too. Very sophisticated parrot. And like a parrot, if you agree to take me on, say I'm going to live with Hardy. So you go, you know they can live for up to like 105 years or something. So do you have anybody else that could take Hardy if something happens to you, tragically? My neighbor, who I was just thinking about the other day, we weren't friends or anything. I just say my neighbor because she's literally lived around the corner. Miss Lillian, who was at one point the oldest driver in the United States at like 105. And she was right around 100 when I lived near her. I saw her go from, I think I might have met her around late 90s, early 100s. And I'd seen her around for years. And I saw her with this other woman who turns out was her daughter. But they had sort of like identical white bouffants. And I wasn't sure who was who. And I later met them and figured it out. But Miss Lillian had, at that point, she had been retired for decades and was shocked and appalled at her longevity, because you just don't, she said she had not saved for this day. And she was on Barbara Walters at one point among the all, she had a really loud southern accent and everything. She was great. And then she lived to like 107 or more. I really don't know. She's since passed away. And I think I often think of her, but then I also think of very young people and how they would like to have a ladies' clothing store in the 50s, and that's not going to happen. How about that? So that old lady who's not even around anymore, she had something that no one will ever have. Now, perhaps you do. No one will ever have the life. I don't want you to romanticize your life too much, but gosh, no one's ever going to, you know, be able to go back in time and experience the things that you did or be you. Or, well, what will I do with this? Is there such thing as infinity? It's like, oh, it's too bad, isn't it? I wonder if all this stays around or doesn't stay around or goes anywhere. I guess that's, I don't know whether that's, That's moot. And the moo part of moot is like M-U, like the moo, like the Japanese word, you know, empty, nothingness. And everything that, nothing, nothingness that is just undifferentiatedness, a no thing. Can you be that? No, I can't. Oh, we don't have to be. Listen, if you realize that this whole world, let's say you walk into the world and say, this isn't a world, it's a weird movie set. It's a movie set that's in a sort of airplane hangar. Oh my gosh, none of it was real. It's still a big old movie, airplane hangar. Imagine the possibilities. Tear down the set, we shall build our own set. This is fantastic. Look at that, it's somewhat arbitrary. We just take away these things. Some of these sets have been hurting people, and some of these sets are dehumanizing, and we can build different places. Let's build a world fresh. What should we have? First of all, I'm going to do what all human beings do and say, well, if I was an all-powerful being and I could make people go along with me through sheer coercion and fear, what would I do? And the first thing I would do is very idiosyncratic. I would say, I would impose a specific value on people. I would say, the first thing you're going to do, we're going to take things incrementally, but the first thing that must happen is that you can wear whatever you, let's start with a hat, that you can wear whatever you want on your head. And nobody can say anything or look at you funny. So we'll just start there. And then we'll see. And then maybe you can wear anything you want. But, I mean, it could be just pandemonium. But let's start with hats. You know, or maybe you can wear your hair any kind of way you want. That'd be kind of exciting. And nobody can say anything. Or I will strike you down with my lightning. It's not real lightning, but you'll feel something. Woo! Like Granny used to shoot people with a shotgun. Because, oh, don't worry, it has salt in it. And I was like, ice, salt? She's shooting salt out of a gun. And that's not permanently damaging people? Shooting salt in it. I'm making a wound and I'm shooting rock salt in it. That was struck me as being cruel and horrifying. I mean, I don't want to pile on the Beverly Hillbillies. I realize they get a lot of criticism for stuff that's worse than that. But that particularly as I saw that as a young person, and I didn't even know that you could, that condiments were a viable ammunition. I didn't realize that. Like, what else can you, what other, like, household items, kitchen items can you shoot out of guns? Because I was that kind of kid. I go, if there turns out there's something in my kitchen that could be a weapon, you need to let me know now. Because I need to make it and then go out in a field and then let a can know who's boss. So if I had known that, I wonder, I didn't have a gun. So my parents say, no, you can't have a gun. I go, I'll just put salt in it or pepper or anything. I'll put oregano in it. I don't go, let me just blast something out of it. No. So Granny, also she made you want to distill your own spirits. So Granny's been making her own, distilling her own spirits. And then another thing that I don't want to pile on the Beverly Hillbillies, but I just want to ask, a sensitive question. Was Granny Church of God? I don't know. I'm looking at these people and I'm like, man, I bet she was, how was she not Pentecostal? And they don't really touch on that. And I think she's got everything down pretty well, except that she's not crying and screaming because somebody's playing cards. And I thought, this doesn't ring particularly true. And now Buddy Epson was from Florida. I understand that. You know, that's just everybody do whatever they want, drunk all the time in the swamp, every kind of life. I understand that's where he comes from. I don't know. He's from Stark or something like Judy Canova. But but the rest of them, I don't know what their excuse is. I just found out, so they made a remake of the Beverly Hillbillies, a movie. And Jim Varney, Zacronel of Rocca, was in it as Jed. And then I found out that, and he's from here, he's from Lexington, Kentucky. He went to Lafayette High. And he's buried here in the Lexington Cemetery in a grave of black marble. It's a black marble headstone. It's really nice. It has a can of Mountain Dew on it or whatever. And not Mountain Dew. What's the other? Which is one did he? Mellow Yellow. One of them. Mellow Yellow, I guess it is, that he advertised. And then I found out that Robert Easton was a dialect coach on that movie. I say, who's Robert Easton? I go, well, Robert Easton was a character actor, and he played lots of hillbillies and everything. He was a guy from Minnesota and Texas, and he did lots of voices. Ethnic dialects is what his specialty was. And he taught other people how to do them too. He was a character actor and he did them. And then he taught other people how to do all the many, many ethnic dialects that there are. And he did this on the Beverly Hillbillies. And I just wonder whether they had a meeting with Jim Varney. And if Jim Varney was I'm sure, was gracious and gentle with him. But I wonder if he didn't tell him how to speak. Say, oh, you know, let me get yours. You're not doing the right part of Tennessee or something. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I believe it's not ruined for me if people just do their own voices in movies. Say, oh, I'm speaking like I'm indeed. I don't do that. Just whatever. You know, is this a dagger I see before me? A hand towards my hand? Come, let me clutch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Oh, elves of Brooks and something of, come on now. That's my Falstaff. Not Falstaff, I mean my Prospero. I can do my Falstaff, cut his sack, or whatever he says, Falstaff says. I'd love to do just my one-person show where I just do Shakespeare monologues. It's really something else. I did it. I used to do it at the Ramada Inn when they weren't the Ramada back then. They were just called 12 Guys. And it was oh my gosh. Those were different days though. I like being on the radio now in the modern times. Because I tell you what, because there's less pay. And that's a good thing. I see bad time. You used to do all sorts of things for money that people do for free now, which is wonderful, I think, because I'm not for money particularly. Let's rob everything of its monetary value. People say, oh, I think some people get paid. And I go, no, let's go the other way. Nobody gets paid for anything. So how would that work? Let's see. It wouldn't know. People would hoard things. We'll see. Just, I don't know. Let's see. Come on, you have to have something. You have to have things that just symbolically represent value. How would you live without that? I know. I made some art recently, and people go, how much is your art worth? They go, wow, you know, I don't know, $1 million. And they go, no, what are you, insane? I don't know. I was just, you know, I learned it from you. That's what I feel like about the internet, you know? It's all value seems absurd. How much is this show worth? Nothing. Nothing. Everything. I personally think your attention. I mean, for all my nutty thoughts, I believe that your attention is, and other people recognize this as well, is invaluable. I mean, if we could make some sort of connection, or you pay attention to what I'm saying, and we connect, or you have an experience. Oh. That is so valuable. I know, I understand the value in it, or it's valuable to me at least. I've been wonderful with a shared value, but I find it remarkable. I have to. I've got this limited life. I haven't been, it doesn't seem particularly objectively spectacular, so I think that some of its Spectacularness must be in code or hidden, much like the value of Don Quixote's magic helmet. If everybody saw it as a magic helmet, they'd try to steal it. The best treasures are ones that only you can see. Then they can't be stolen, because they will. People might steal it, you know, given their inclinations.
Oh, Lady Macbeth, I want to be in something, Lady Macbeth.
That was not one, but a lot of times old cartoons would use, Gilligan's Island did this with some opera and everything. I was listening to opera the other day, and I was like, man, that Sherwood Schwartz can write an opera. But it was the original, you know, it wasn't a Gilliganized version of things, but they don't come, life doesn't come at you in the order that it was conceived. You know, everything's jumbled up. Your values don't come at you in context. Nothing does. And your memories don't come back in any particular order or even when they're asked for. Sometimes they come back intrusively. Sometimes they won't come back when they're called. I wondered that about my dog, Vicky, when I was little. I'm sorry, Vicky, but that's really the name of the animal. But I said, well, I don't understand this. I can't say Vicky because people like us is going to think, oh, you can't say my name. Let's say the animal is Fifi. I said, Fifi, I don't get. So we couldn't open the door very wide because Fifi would run out and away forever. dog had no real interest of living with me. And so I was wondering, like, what is this? This relationship is very, very one-sided. It keeps running out. If I got to do that to keep the dog, is the dog really, you know, mine, in quotes, you know. So finally dog died, so it's moot. But I never figured that out. And I just want to say that, my friend, I opened this door and you can run out there into traffic. I love you so much. Be careful. But if you want to come back here just for food, I'll leave the food out. You don't even have to see me. I can leave the food out on the step. And just every once in a while, I just ask that you leave a little flower next to the bowl where I put the food. I used to make fun of my next-door neighbor for feeding the crows. Then I started to do it. Isn't that weird? I think that's the crows doing, and not mine, and not my neighbor. I think it was the crows. Sometimes I don't even realize that their words are getting through to me, their sounds, their symbols, crow words. When they scold a hawk, I hear some new words that I don't hear during the rest of the week. I hope that you hear some words today, friends, that you don't hear during the rest of the week. And if you are hearing words like mine, let's say from your employer or whatever, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on. You can please call somebody. But that's a shame. I'd be so confused. What is it we do? There's another meeting. I don't know what we do. I've been here 2 months, and I have no idea what my job is. You just hang tight. Don't worry. Hang tight. Do your work. I don't know what my work is. Do your work. Everybody eventually gets the line. Listen, I'll tell you what. We don't like meetings, but they are the glue that brings the parts together. So that's the way we look at it here, too. This is a business. This is an office. You're not obligated to come here and be with me, my friend. It's like a card club. It's like a game. I go do game. It's not gaming. We don't game, Hardy White and I. What do? Oh, we open up our hearts together, and we mush them up, and we tenderize them. Oh, so that we can have more experiences. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York. Really? Online, WFMU.org, worldwide. We thank you so much for joining us this week. And I wish you a good one, and I will see you again next week.
Mahogany. Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was 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 Mahogany. Twins' name was Ebony.
We come to invade you while you're playing in your playpen. We ain't playing. Play on, play boy, play boy.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. You say fantastic. You say huh? What? You know? It's that shh. Hey yo, this is for y'all to dance to a slow. Cause it's fantastic. It's fantastic. What? 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 What?